Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, and we're going through Proverbs. We're in chapter 4, and we left off. Let's see, where did we leave off here? Verse 10, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Now, there's a promise, you know, the years of thy life shall be many. And that's something that I held on to. And, of course, part of his commandments, and I hit on this once in a while, are the dietary laws. You know, you have to embrace his whole word, all of his commandments, to get the promises. And the years of thy life shall be many. Well, you know, I'd like to have as many years as I can. I see this fatalist mentality in the church as, I hope Jesus comes. He's coming back any minute. The sooner he comes, the better. And I'm out of here. This I'm out of here mentality. Well, I don't know. I don't understand that mentality. You know, certainly life has its rough spots. Certainly there are times of pain and sorrow and suffering. Certainly there are. But this life, this mortal existence that we have, it's a one-shot deal. You can only do this once. It's a gift from God, and it's a beautiful thing. I think the beauty and all of the good is far and wide, ample enough. It's sufficient enough to outweigh the suffering and the sorrow and the pain. And even in that, there's a joy and there's a beauty if you are walking with Him. Because the scripture says that all things work together for good to those that love Him, to those that love God, and are called according to His purpose. If you love God, then it doesn't matter what happens. It's all for your own good. And if you believe that, then you're willing to go through it, and you're willing to embrace as much as you can get and as long as you can get out of this life. That's the way I feel about it. So there it is. And there's the years of thy life shall be many. You know, it could happen. There could be a war. There could be an invasion. There could be a tragedy or an accident. People do die young, and it could happen to me. But I am certainly not going to give in to this fatalist mentality that I see is so pervasive, you know, that certainly to be present, to be absent from the body is to be present with Yahuwah if you are in Him. But this doesn't mean that I want to throw off this gift that is this life so easily. I want to embrace, and I'll take as much as He'll give me. Like I said, we only come this way once. We only come and live in this mortal existence one time. And then when it's over, well, for those of us that believe and receive the promises, we know we have greater things to look forward to. And that's good too. That's good too. But I want to do a lot of work here. There's a one-shot deal here to the wise shall win souls. There's a one-shot deal here. This is the only place we can bring people into His kingdom, you know, bring them with us. And that's why to cross the border into His kingdom, obtain eternal life, you know, as it's forever, you know. The rest of my life is worth one soul, you know. And if I can bring many, well, that's even better. But if the whole purpose of my life was to live another 40 years and then win one soul, well, that's one more forever in His kingdom. Hear, O my son, and receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many. And a lot of times when I meet people meet me, and they learned my true age. Many of them act surprised, and it's become a normal thing for me that people are surprised that they don't believe that I am as old as I am. But, you know, I can only attribute it to one thing, and that's to living by the words in this book and throwing a little common sense in there. The scripture talks about the dainties, the king's dainties, and I think that's in Proverbs too, but we'll get there, and perhaps I should save that to touch on it then. But there are so many things that the world does that are normal that destroy our life and destroy our flesh and destroy our health. If we try to live as closely to His law and His commandments as we can, then we will preserve our life. We will preserve our youthfulness, our vigor. So I can only attribute it to Him. And it leads me to believe that, yes, maybe, you know, maybe I can live another 50 years. Who knows? I may live to be 110, 105, maybe 120. Who knows? I don't know. Like I said, I'm here for as long as he'll have me here. That's the way it goes. And I don't want to suffer in my old age. That's another reason that I follow the dietary laws. I keep his commandments. It's because I don't want to suffer. And I figure the closer I keep myself to his instruction, the better off I will be, because I believe his word. You know, I have faith in his word. And we need to use wisdom and understanding. We need to understand that, you know, our Heavenly Father did not make those foods that are in the supermarket, that these are concoctions of men. And most of them have been put there to make a profit, and a lot of them support the other industries, the medical and pharmaceutical industries, very well, because they destroy your health. And it goes on and on. And you see how the wicked prosper and how they rob you of your life and your health by getting you addicted to their concoctions and their, you know, their unclean foods. And I have many friends that, you know, friends that I love and in the ministry and so forth. But they think that I'm going too far if I say, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to eat pork. I'm not going to eat scavenger meats and ocean bottom feeders, because God's law says I shouldn't. You know, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to do my utmost to live according to his law, because I believe that I will gain by good health. And why shouldn't I? You know? Why not? If it's in his commandments and I'm after him, I think it pleases him to see me go into his word and say, I'm going to live by these words because I believe him and I have faith in him. And I've seen these same people who somewhat scorn me in some of their sermons and stuff by teaching the opposite, that it's okay, that isn't really necessary. I see them having horrendous, traumatic medical episodes in their life, where some of them even have to be rushed to the hospital, have their chests ripped open, and emergency surgery, and just terrible things like that. Or they suffer from, you know, just the maladies that are so prevalent in the world, and allergies and all of these things. And I believe that it comes mainly. I mean, I'm not saying that people can't be contaminated and poisoned in their environment. Surely that happens. And it's a terrible thing. You know, and I'm not saying these people are any more wicked than I am. And it's, you know, good, bad things happen to good people too. Bad things can happen. I could be poisoned or enter into a contaminated environment. It could happen to any of us, but let us act wisely. You know, let us follow his commandments. Let us be able to say that I didn't bring this on myself out of disobedience. And so many of us learned disobedience. Some of us have practiced disobedience. And for some of us to throw off disobedience, even just as simply to follow his dietary laws as commandments for our life, some of us would feel as to say, well, that makes my teachers liars. And I don't want to go there, so I'm going to go ahead and uphold what I've been taught, that it's not necessary to keep his law. And certainly it isn't necessary to keep his law. You can live this life. You may die young, you may live old. It isn't necessary. It isn't necessary to follow his commandments, you know, depending on what your object is. If your object is to obtain all these promises, then it is necessary. At least for me. And beyond all of that, you know, time and time again, I keep saying that I want to live a life that is pleasing to my Heavenly Father. In all my ways, I want to acknowledge him. And to quote another pastor teacher, is all means all. And that's all means. That's everything. In all my ways, acknowledge him. And that even means the way I eat, the way I treat my neighbor, the way I deal with my neighbor, the way I interact with government. I can't ever vote myself largesse, knowing that the state is going to, by duress, steal from my neighbor to provide whatever it is that the mouth is promising if I vote for it. Yes, make me the mouth of the beast. Thank me, the mouth. But the beast controls the mouth. The mouth does not control the beast. Let's get it right. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When you go, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when you runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. You know, hold on to these instruction of these words in the book of Proverbs. Hold on to them. Don't let them go. And personifying instruction, keep her, for she is a tree of life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. When you see the wicked, don't enter in. And go not in the way of evil. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Wow. They don't have peace unless they've done some wicked thing. All with good intentions, of course. Yes, it's all done with good intentions. They sit up there day and night in their palaces, in their great halls, and they devise and they scheme day in and day out. And the scripture here says, for they sleep not except they have done some mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. Violence, you know. Many years ago, perhaps 10 years ago, 12, more than that, I have a good friend and mentor. His name is Jonathan Lindvall, a very good man. He has a website, boldchristianliving.org, I believe, something like that. But that's his ministry, Bold Christian Living. And then I was fully engaged in the politics of the system, and I was thinking, well, need to vote for this or vote for that. And he told me one day, I was discussing it with him, and he characterized voting as violence. Well, that just kind of, you know, somehow did not compute in my brain. Voting is violence? Voting is violence? And for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Voting is violence. That's what he told me. Well, it might have got a little further with me if he said voting is force. Of course, force is violence. Now, we think of violence as something much more egregious than just simple force. But force is violence. Force is the threat of violence. So when you vote, you're forcing people. And that was his point, really. And I didn't agree with him then, because I was fully engaged and thinking, you know, maybe we can do something politically, like so many people are mistakenly believe. But I'll tell you what, I've come around, and I realized that those words were true. There is no force in the kingdom of God. I cannot force someone to be good. And certainly, when you put men in power, they're not going to use their force to force people to do good. They're going to use their force to force people to do what they deem to be good intentions, what is proposed by good intentions. You know, the good intentions, see, and that's how they get them to vote for things. They tell you about the good intentions. Meanwhile, they're thinking about how they can take advantage of the situation that they create by your good intentions. Social Security. Well, the intentions are good. You know, that we take care of the elderly and we take care of the disabled. The intentions are good, aren't they? But what does God's law say? God's law says anyone who doesn't take care of their own is worse than an infidel. So let's institutionalize that ungodliness, the breaking of his commandments by the good intentions of allowing the state to do it for us. That we don't have to obey his commandments because we've institutionalized it. And so they set up a system where they're going to take 7.5% or 15% of your pay every month. Anyone who enrolls in their system, you know, by deceit or however you got enrolled in their system. And then what they do is they steal all the money. And they've started a Ponzi scheme where they can take the money and they can engage in things that you would never fund. Free abortions, free medical, free drugs, free this, free that, wars in Iraq. all of these things. They could never do these things without their unjust weight and balance monetary system and all of the good intentions that caused you to vote these things into existence that get around God's law. You have, by your tradition, made the law of God ineffectual or of no effect. That's what Jesus said to the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites. You have, by your tradition. And that's what they do. They sit up there all day long, and they think of things to deceive the people with good intentions. When the law of God says, take care of your parents. Stand up before the hoary head. Stand up before the old, the gray man, the gray old man. Anyone who doesn't take care of their own is worse than an infidel. No, but good intentions to break the law of God so that we don't have to keep his commandments, because we have now institutionalized this wickedness so that we do not have to keep his commandments. How's that for practical application of the wisdom of our Heavenly Father? And we can see where it all leads. You start institutionalizing, it's destroying the nation. It's enslaving the nation. Who's going to argue with these words? It's enslaving the nations because we've forgotten the law of our God. And we've institutionalized theft and wickedness. For they eat the bread of wickedness. Yes, they eat the bread of wickedness. Who eats the bread of wickedness? You know, they have this thing out there called AARP, ARP. And that's the American Association of Retired Persons. What an abomination. These people get together, and they have political action committees so they can do what? So they can continue to vote themselves more and more largesse. So that they can continue to oppress their children. So that they can have free drugs. So that they can have, so the medical industry can use them, continue to steal from the nation to provide for them. What an abomination. And their bumper sticker says, I'm spending my children's inheritance. What an evil. And they eat the bread of wickedness because it's stolen bread. For they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence because it's theft and it's taken by force. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Hallelujah. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. I mean, isn't that obvious? They get together, they think they're doing these great things. They don't even know that they're stumbling. They don't even know that they're practicing violence and force and wickedness while they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. They don't even know at what they stumble. They're blind. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. You know, what we're talking about here is we're contrasting the kingdoms of this world with the kingdom of God. Which kingdom are you in? Which kingdom do you want to be in? Cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and live forever. These are the words of his kingdom, contrasted with the words and the ways of the kingdoms of this world. There's only one kingdom that's going to last forever. Make sure you're in it. There's nothing more important in this life than to make sure that you are in his kingdom and that you remain there forever. Never allow anything to pull you out of his kingdom. Nothing. Verse 19 in chapter 4 of Proverbs. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Yes, let them be established in righteousness. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Good words to live by. When you come into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, when you say to Him, I repent, I want you to be my King, my Master, my Lord, I give you my life, because you paid for it with your blood, please keep me in your kingdom. And He says, don't turn to the right hand or to the left, and remove your foot from evil. His Holy Spirit comes into our life, and He starts to convict us of sin. And He's saying, the Holy Spirit is saying, remove your foot from evil. And if we remove our foot from evil, we say, yes, I repent. I want to walk in the way. Then we're walking with Him. But if we won't remove our foot from evil, we may find ourselves outside of His kingdom, a dangerous place to be. I'll be back in a few minutes.